Hi, everybody, and welcome to a very special 500,000 download celebration party. Yes. So what's that you say? You managed to get 500,000 of these? Well, I think that deserves something. What do you guys reckon? There's no need. Please stop the cheering. There's no need for it. Anyway, well, folks, first of all, a very warm welcome to our normal Thursday p.m., 8 p.m. Podcast. Live, we're all here. And I hope this one finds you well. Lots of questions. I see. First, most important question of the night. Hi, David. Hey, David. How was Elvis Costello? As some of you may know, I went to see Elvis Costello for the 40th time in Bath, not in the Bath, but in Bath on Friday night. He and his band, The Imposters, and it was, of course, brilliant. So, So we have I'm going to bring people in the studio in a second here, by the way. Adrian, you always normally come in, so just let me know and I'll bring you in. I just wanted to say a few things to start with, actually, if I can, before we start our normal discussions. In the first instance, it was on the 5th of April, 5th of June last year, 2021, that Jed and myself decided, why don't we try and do this podcasting malarkey, you know, these podcasting shenanigans. We said that, and we did the very first one. I was just looking, the 5th of June, 2021. So here we are, one year on, it's still June, right? And we've hit over 500,000 downloads. And so I wanted to say, first of all, I want to get my priorities right. I want to thank Jed, my compatriot in all of these endeavors, without whose efforts, none of this would be possible. So I want to put on record to Jed my deep appreciation for putting up with me, actually, and some of my rantings over the past year. But it seems to have worked out well. So my Leslie Butler is right. Jed is my a partner in crime. So I want to thank Jed. I want to thank, particularly with regard to Thursday evenings, our friend Paddy, City Troll. I want to thank our friend Adrian as well, who's with us. And I don't think Ed can be with us tonight, but I want to put my appreciation for all of the guys who turn up in the studio most weeks. I've tried to, where humanly possible, do this on a Thursday evening if I can get the time. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult. But of course, the people I need to thank most is you. Yeah, each and every one of you needs to be appreciated, because without you, none of this would have happened. You know, it's you guys who tune in. It's you guys who listen to this stuff. And as I say, I want to thank you all so much for supporting us. It's not easy doing this stuff, but it's a labor of love. Trust me, it's a labor of love. It's sometimes it's a labor though, because it does can take a lot of time. Sometimes when we started doing these podcasts, you know, I did about. I think we started with, Jed can remind me, it was two or three, Jed. It was a small number. And somehow or another, it's multiplied, hasn't it?
It certainly has, David. Good evening, David, Paddy, Adrian, and the crew listening in and watching in on Getter. It's been a journey, David. Yes, it was a couple on the first one, and we tested the water. But it's grown, and we've... I constantly monitor it every day, as you do, David, and we've seen, you know, the average download for the podcast rising, you know, on a daily or weekly basis. It's been fantastic, the support we've had from all our usual crew and some new people, particularly over the past 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a bit longer. It's been brilliant. It's been a ride, David. It's been a ride. But Absolutely. Congratulations to you because, sorry, I have somebody at my front door, because it's you that's put the effort in every day, normally 6 days a week, to put out 5 to 6 podcasts every day. So a big round of applause for David for the effort he puts in.
Well, I think, Jed, I'm sitting here and I told you I would be doing this. I've got a glass of red wine in front of me because I decided that because there is so much work goes into this. And I decided today the key thing to do for tonight was not to prepare. So I'm completely unprepared for the podcast. And as Jed knows, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I do, it all comes off the top of my head, all of it. I mean, it's nothing scripted, folks. It's all just stream of consciousness stuff. That's just what I do. And it's reasonably easy to do. And you know, Jed, I look back to the very beginning and I can remember, you know, I was looking at some of the early podcasts that we'd done, that we put out, and it's amazing, actually, the journey that I feel that I've been on. Because if I look back to the summer of 2020, I was being very kind of COVID-19. Yeah, well, you know, let's not overreact, but it's not the end of the world, and we shouldn't have restrictions. That was me in June of 2020, right?
Times have changed.
yeah, because by June of 2021, I'm going, yeah, this is a real problem. This is a mega problem. We need to basically arrest Boris Johnson. And then to today, June 2022, and I'm going, yeah, I don't think there's such a thing as COVID-19.
And we still should arrest Boris Johnson.
And we should still arrest Boris Johnson, nevertheless. Yeah. Or preferably.
I think where we really wanted this Thursday night to go, and we push it every week, is to get our audience joining in on the app on the phone. Just click on the call in button at the top and you could be part of it. You can ask David direct your questions rather than typing them out. You can get your point across. We welcome anybody to join the show. We really do on a Thursday night.
And that's actually, Jay, that's a good point. That's a difference because unlike the other stuff that we do here in the podcast channel, the live podcast, it means that any of you guys can just hop on, say hello, and you don't, I mean, you won't, there's no inquisition here. I love that interaction. You know, it's what makes this so much fun. It's a bit like, Jed, when we do our live streams, you know, on the different platforms on a Monday and a Wednesday, the bit I enjoy the best is when all the folks, the gang, the crew, the motley crew, come in with your comments. I love that. It makes it for me. Do you know?
You're right, David. It does make it. And you know, we see you when it's obviously Monday or Wednesday. We can see you tittering in the background as you read the brilliant comments we get. And I know we get comments here on the podcast, and we also get them over on Getter. I mean, our crew on Getter. Join, you know, we're getting regular people over there who join just to watch the little bars going across the top, you know, and the messages from the podcast thing coming up and down. But I just want to say a special thanks actually to Leslie Butler, because as I was setting up for the show, Leslie had gone over to buymeacoffee.com and donated. And if you do that during the show, it will actually pop up on Getter and it will go up the screen of how much you've donated or the little message you'd like to put out. It does go up the screen on Getter in video format. So please donate as well, because we do need your financial support to keep this show on the road as well.
Yeah, actually, and there is, this is the last time I'm going to mention the dreaded word money, but just FYI, everybody, we started this podcast thing a year ago, and just a couple of days ago, we renewed the sort of podcasting, the Podbean kind of licensing thing that we have, which costs in excess of 160 quid. So that's our investment for the next year. We want to be with you guys, and we it's just brilliant. It's such a great group that we have. Now look, Jed, We have two other people sitting in the studio, and they've been very disciplined. They've been very
quiet. Brilliant people sat in the studio, Mike.
They
two
have,
brilliant people.
Well, the first one I'm going to come to, of course, I've known him for, Paddy, I think we met around about the time of the American War of Independence, but and we're still firm friends after a long time. City Troll, very welcome to the stream.
We've been fellow travelers in many lives, David, many lives. But our acquaintance actually began at 9/11. That's when we hooked up the original Tangled Web. So it's, you know, it's been since then. And like I said, I also want to say, you know, hit on something that David hit on. He said, you know, thank you for everybody. And, you know, we're at 500,000 downloads. That's 500,000 seeds and also reflections that other people have that they're not, we're not alone in the way in our thinking. Like I said, this podcast is just a bunch of blokes hanging around talking about the events of the day and, you know, and trying to get our voices heard. And we're not, you know, there's millions of people out there that feel exactly the same way and just don't have the outlet. And it's just nice. And I think, you know, as long as we just be who we are, this is just keep going as it is. You do a great job with that, David. Jed, I know it's actually you, but you got to give the man his dues.
No, well, I think it's all of us.
You're right, Paddy. It's David. He does the content. I just titivate it around the edges. It's David's content.
Well, the other person who's been a regular on the stream, and I'm going to bring him in now, is our friend Adrian. Adrian, you've been coming on now for quite a while, coming into the studio each week, and it's always such a pleasure to have you. So I wanted to thank you very much for all the contributions you've made and the really interesting thoughts you've put out. So a big thanks to you as well. How do you feel about it as we hit our 500,000 landmark?
Well, thank you for that. Evening, everyone. I want to say a thank you to you, David, to Jed, obviously, for all the work that he puts in the background, and Paddy. I know Ed's not with us this evening, but you have given an ordinary, hardworking dad like myself, who can see through who see through it all and give him a chance to talk about things that he sees. And because I talk to people in work and in daily life, and they just look at me as if I have 10 heads sometimes, you know, because a lot of people don't really fully grasp what's going on. So you've actually given me an outlet where I can start talking about things and people understand. I'm also learning lots of new things from yourself, from your daily podcasts and all the other people that are contributing. So it's been massive for me. It's helped me massively, actually. Just sort of the mental health side of things as well, being able to talk about stuff and other people actually realizing what's going on around them. So it's been brilliant. Thank you very much.
No, it's my pleasure. Actually, you know, it's a fair point, Adrian. I guess a lot of the stuff that I put out, it's just me getting exorcising, if you like, the thoughts that are in my mind. You know, we've gone through so much. All of you guys, by the way, I mean, we've lived through, certainly in the last 12 months since this started going live, and previous to that, obviously since March 2020, we've gone through extraordinary times. I don't think, you know, at any other point in history, there's been anything happen like the stuff that we've gone through. So the thing that makes me so happy is, I mean, as you know, I've been very strident in my opposition to every aspect of COVID, every aspect of it, every aspect of the regulations, the restrictions. And if anything, I'm certainly more extreme now than I was a year ago, 2 years ago. And good, I'm glad that I am. But it really helps me that I can, you know, I can comment on this stuff, and then Jed helps me get that stuff out. And then you guys, you know, hopefully it resonates with you. And I can see from the comments that you leave that it does. And it helps me realize the thing that the enemy want us to think: we are alone. And this show, if it does nothing else, demonstrates we're not alone. We are legion.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right, David. And over on Getter, we've got Melissa Sterling saying, I so want to start a podcast. Melissa, just go to podbean.com, sign up and start speaking. That's all we did. That's all David did. He just started speaking about what he felt about the topic of the day. That's all you have to do. sign up, podbean.com, and start creating content. We need more voices.
And the other thing is, we've been so far anyway uncensored. So, you know, this, and I don't think I've put out anything that's extreme, by the way, because I don't do that. But I certainly challenge. I challenge the hell out of everything. And on Podbean, we're able to do that. On places like Getter, we're also able to do that. You know, so I think, Paddy, you know, it's really important. It's a fundamental thing, obviously, for you guys in the States. It's getting harder for us over in the UK. But, you know, that right to free speech. And we can actually exercise it here every week. And anything anyone wants to say is fine by me.
And they're trying to take it. And this is the whole thing. This is the biggest threat to the whole power structure. And they are trying to, you know, they're playing with it over here. Biden's got his disinformation board and, you know, and all this censorship and everything. And it's all backfiring on them because, you know, like I said, the fundamental key to freedom is being able to for everyone to speak their mind. And if you agree with it, you agree with it. If you don't agree with it, you don't agree with it. You laugh at them or, you know, or boo them off the stage. But everybody gets a chance to speak. And it does, you know, this shutting down of certain, you know, you can't think in that direction. Bullshit. Excuse my language. Yep. But yep. That, you know, it's just not the way it is. God gave us a tongue for a reason. You got to use it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Adrian, I mean, your point in mental health was what triggered me in this because I think it's a really, really good point. If you cannot speak the things that are in your head freely without fear of censorship or opprobrium, then that's very unhealthy, isn't it? I mean, that's what's wrong about so much of the if you like, the legacy media, where they don't allow that.
Well, very much so. And when I said mental health, I meant basically the fact that we were going through a psyops. We were being fed, brainwashed every day with cases and deaths and get your vaccine and new variants. And a lot of us could see that it was just pure nonsense, but a lot of people just still fall for it. And for a while I was thinking, am I the only insane one that doesn't believe in this? You know,
yeah.
But bit by bit, speaking to yourselves and so many other people, it's given me a chance to talk about things, get things off my chest, learn new things from all the different aspects that people are putting out there. And it has helped me, honestly, massively, because honestly, I speak to people at work and they just look at me as if, what planet are you from? When you can't point things out to them, they're just like, no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, well, Adrian, exactly. I mean, I'm in exactly the same position. I mean, some of the thoughts that I hold on so much, like, for example, yeah, monkeypox. Yeah, well, it doesn't exist. There's a starting point in the monkeypox discussion, right? Because it's never been isolated. As far as I'm concerned, there's no such virus. Zelensky, he's a criminal. He's a criminal. He should be behind bars. If you say that to normies, they're likely to faint. Right. But we can say it here. And I suggest that a lot of us are probably, you know, nodding our heads going, yeah, that sounds about right, doesn't it? Jed, what do you think?
I'll tell you what I think. Yeah, the man's a lunatic. Mm-hmm. How the world has now bowed to somebody who in 2014 was sending his Nazi brigade to execute the opposition parties. And not just execute them, but put them in a building. And set the building on fire.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing being shot in the head, you know, shot at dawn. There's another thing about being fried alive. But yet, the world are bowing to his tune.
And the thing about this podcast platform, Paddy, which I think is great, is we absolutely, and as you know, Paddy, I've been doing this all the years you've known me, we challenge. There's things I can agree. It's not that I take issue with everything, because that would be insane, but I take issue with a hell of a lot. And as I grow older, even more and more so, I'm not prepared to go with the establishment lie on just about anything. And to Adrian's point, you know, we're continually being gaslit. There's continual psyops against us. And what's lovely about here is, and all of you guys listening to this, here on Podbean and over in Getter, is I believe that we all see things the same. So we are in our own, if you like, space where we can say the things that we want to say. And we can take issue with each other as well if we want, Paddy. Like, it's not as if a unanimity is you know, required to come onto this.
No, and that's the whole point, man. If we all thought the same, we'd be, you know, we'd be drones. It's the exchange of different ideas and the exchange of looking at different points of view that makes us each grow. And this single train of thought is tyrannical. It's not. It's got nothing to do with the way humans actually work. And it's been every time it's tried to control people, they have everybody think the same. It always winds up into violence eventually. And it's, you know, you just can't have that. We're supposed to be evolving as a species, you know, and the first step of that is to be able to talk to each other.
Well, absolutely right. Can I issue a warm welcome here to our couple of friends here who have joined the stream? I see Chris Davies, our really good friend and a great supporter. Chris, great to see you on the stream. And also I see my friend Gregulate from California, if I'm right, also on the stream. Thank you guys for being here and being part of this. Now, listen, I've got this glass of wine in front of me, and the stream will end whenever the glass ends. The upside to that being there's a bottle beside it. So this might be a long haul one, Jed. You got to get yourself well locked in for where we're going to get to. But seriously, you know, we have challenged and we continue to challenge. And, you know, looking around the whole world of podcasts, as I do, there's some other great voices out there, and I really appreciate them as well. However, I think the thing that we've created is kind of different from everyone else's, because to my mind anyway, the stars of this show are all you lot, not me.
Well, I get that, David, and it is. It's the comments, isn't it? And it's the people that follow us regularly. And sometimes the people that just pop in for one show and leave a nice comment or a good point that we can discuss. But what I do want to say, the old Baz on Getter, he's trying to watch Getter and the stream and cook a ribeye steak. You should have got your ribeye steak all sorted, settled down, listen to the show with your ribeye steak and a nice glass of wine or a glass of beer, and you would have been all settled, good old Baz.
yeah.
You know what time we come on.
Yeah, well, we do. We've tried so hard, guys, to be, you know, because I think people, we're all creatures of routine, and we've tried to make sure that we are, you know, regular 8 o'clock for the live podcast here. And you know, we do our so I try so hard, and Jed tries so hard, and actually, you know, I have to say, there's the sacrifices are made at this end of things for us both to be able to do it, but we do it, Jed. I think for the truth of the matter is because this is one hell of a great gang of people, and I'm so proud to be associated with them, and I'm so humbled that they will come to our podcast. And when they've got a choice of, like, you know, there's a gazillion podcasts as we speak tonight. There's lots of live streams going on. I see that elsewhere. But I don't think Adrian's right. You know, most podcasts are the hosts and the occasional guest. That's not what we want. We want this podcast to be, I guess, I want it, everybody. My perfect podcast would be everyone phones into the studio. As long as we could control that, mind you. That would be my
Like a call-in radio show. You know, yeah. Well, people can call in, have, you know, like you do. I'm going to mention it because it's one that everybody's aware of. You know, talk, vaccine radio, talk radio. You know, you call in, you have your point, you have your say, and then you pop back out again. That's what we want, because that then, as Adrian said, with mental health, if you can't get it off your chest, if you can't say it, whether it's right or wrong, it'll drive you insane. You have to be able to speak.
Well, you're right. And actually, Adrian, just on that, I mean, I'm so vivid memories of last November, December, when the whole COVID tyranny was reaching a crescendo, a peak, and we were continually attacking it every day, challenging every aspect of it. And those were dark times. Those were really dark times. And one of the good things that I think really helped at that time, and I suspect it may help in the future as well, is the very fact that we can all come together here, you know, and we can say whatever we want. We, you know, it's so healthy that we can do that. But that time, and particularly in Northern Ireland, where the pressure on those of us who have never worn masks was really being cranked up. If you remember, Adrian, remember we were being told it's going to be there's going to be no exceptions. You're going to have to wear it. Do you remember that? We lived through that, and I think by doing this kind of stuff, we support. Leslie Butler will remember this as well. We supported each other, Adrian, didn't we?
Very much so, but we have to. You know, we are the ones that are brave enough to stand up, put our heads above the parapet and go, no, I'm not buying any of this. Mm-hmm. There are many people like us who think they can see through that this is nonsense, this doesn't make sense, but they're not brave enough to stand up and go, no, I'm not doing it. And yes, you get laughed at, yes, you get made fun of, and certain people try to ridicule you in the press. You know, you have your Piers Morgans, your Stephen Nolans, all those kind of people. But it takes a brave person to be able to stand up and just go, no, I'm not doing it. Mm. And it gave me more heart that so many people were actually in the same boat, because for a long time I was wondering, am I getting this wrong? Am I just totally missing the whole point of this? Is it dangerous? Is it not? But it's so refreshing that there's so many people who have just went, no. And I take heart in the fact that I was walking about Tesco's and certain people were looking at me. And then within a few seconds, they were taking a mask off too. And I just was able to walk away smiling, going, bring it. There's another one. Bring it. And that's all it takes.
Yeah. But that's exactly, Paddy, that's the point. You know, we can actually, yeah, Grantonio says, I'm Spartacus. You're right. And I'm Spartacus too, Grantonio. And Paddy, you know, this is the thing. By expressing the things that we've talked about over the past year, you know, I think we have shone some light into actually a very, very deep darkness.
Well, and that's the thing is I refuse to go silently into the night. And I know we're not alone in that. And I will scream and holler and everything else. And, you know, it's if you want to fight with me, fight with me. You want to try to shut me up? That'll never happen, because I will always find a way to be heard. You've been grateful enough to give me a platform where that I can express myself on in so many different ways for so many years. And it's like you said, but even if you hadn't, I'd find a way, because you know, you cannot be quiet. You have to speak up. If you speak up, if you don't speak up, you're complicit. And I'm sorry, I refuse to go down without a fight.
Well, you see, Paddy, if we look at the stuff that's happened across with you in the States over the past year, I mean, we're very familiar, obviously, those of us here in the UK, with all the shenanigans over the past year. But if we think of the sort of stuff that you've been through over the past actual couple of years, you've got a fake president, an illegitimate presidency. You have had some, you know, if you live in a Democrat state, you've gone through some terrible draconianism. I put out a podcast, Paddy, the other day saying that, you know, to its shame, the Biden administration is the only one in the world that's authorized Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines for kids 3 years old and down to as young as 6 months.
And the whole thing is too, is like I said, I saw a headline where, you know, somebody actually won a suit against Pfizer in the UK. They made them exempt here. You cannot sue them over here. So they're going to inject these babies. And when these kids, all get cancer or something bizarre 10 years down the road, and they, you know, it's related to this vaccine, there's nothing. You go, oh, well, too bad, you know.
Yeah, well, this is what Leslie Butler saying, that it's wicked, and it is wicked, Leslie, and it infuriates me. But I would suggest, Jed, that it won't be long until the UK, till its eternal shame, follows in the footsteps of the Biden administration and our awful MHRA, suddenly says, yeah, well, actually, look, we think that we need to get the give protection to those five-year-olds and younger, which, to me, is murderous in terms of its intent.
And also, too, there's another risk to place with this, not with this nonsense. I wanted to get back to this real fast. Sorry to interrupt. But the mask thing. Last 2 weeks ago, less than 10 days ago, the Biden administration reinstated the mask mandate for the FAA, FAA employees and everything else. Over half the air traffic controllers walked off the job. For 2 days, there was, planes that were normally controlled by two people while they're in there. Two planes that were controlled by one person. That one person was now controlling six planes. They had to cancel 18,000 flights and reroute traffic all up and down the East Coast, all because it decided for no reason at all to go back to a mask mandate at the FAA. And it's, it's just sheer nonsense.
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, the masks, Jed, the masks and the vaccines, they're not finished with us, with these masks and vaccines.
No, because if not, David, they won't finish with us until, it is 1984. They will not. We will follow. And the reason we will follow is because actually, we're all controlled by WEF. We're all controlled by Rothschilds. We're all controlled by the UN and all that sort of stuff. That's where the control comes. And the governments, they're just the puppets, in each country, being played by these, Bill Gates. Well, less said about Bill Gates and his worse half. The better, really.
But Jed, I think Paddy made a really strong point there. It's not so much they're being played, they're complicit, which is the thing that makes me most angry. I think, doesn't matter who it is, Biden, Trudeau, Johnson, Macron, Ardern, doesn't matter whether they are complicit. They're the collaborators, really, aren't they, Jed? I mean, that's what makes them so truly wicked. And that's why they all should be in a Nuremberg trial box.
You're right, because if we ever got to Nuremberg trials, they will just say we were following orders. Well, that doesn't work. To blindly follow orders that you know are fundamentally wrong, morally wrong, is just as much as a crime as going, well, I don't care. I will kill you either way, whether I blow your head off or I stick a needle in your arm. The method of the wickedness doesn't matter. It's the wickedness that matters.
Well, Adrian, just on that, I mean, at this point, by June 2022, it's perfect. Everyone knows that there are serious adverse reactions to these alleged vaccines for an alleged virus. And there's no doubt, and those that are obviously up to and including death. And we see case after case of myocarditis, pericarditis, all kinds of. I was listening to a guy had to have a Scottish builder guy had to have his leg amputated after his first AstraZeneca. So Adrian, at this point in the game, the people who still insist, and I'm talking about media commentators and the press and all of these people and the politicians. I mean, what word would you use to describe? How do you describe such people, Adrian?
You won't allow me to swear on your podcast, so I probably would be very limited in the answer I could give. But basically, Nazi collaborators. We've had them out trying to name and shame people. Anybody that tries to talk about the Pfizer data that's been released by Pfizer, they make fun of them. You get bored of social media for trying to point out the truth. Bit by bit, though, there's been one or two things that have happened. We have seen Justin Bieber suffer from some kind of, what did you call it?
A palsy.
So he's had that. His wife's had a blood clot. Here in the UK, we had that guy, Jason Gardner, come out last week and sort of be disgusted that he couldn't post the data. So they've been gaslighting us. Trying to sort of embarrass us by saying, oh, it's not true, and just blatantly hiding the facts from people. But any parent that lets a 3-month-old child get vaccinated for this, well, there's just no hope. There's no hope for humanity, because as a parent, the one thing you should do is protect your children at all costs. Put them through that. It's disgusting.
Although, to be honest, when I think, consider these parents who would allow infants to be given this clot shot, my view is, well, maybe that's Darwinism, you know, in action, Adrian. Maybe humanity is better. Well, I don't want to, obviously wouldn't wish the loss of any child, but parents like this, we don't need this level of stupidity in the human gene pool, surely.
No, we don't. But, you know, a child has no ability to understand. You know, the parents should be making the decision until the child is maybe 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever reasonable age where they can start to understand and make their own decisions. But a 3-month-old or a 1-year-old child has absolutely no choice, no ability to understand anything. So why you would even do that to your child is unbelievable.
Well, Leslie Butler makes a good point here, I see. She says, but they've been so brainwashed, Jed, they've been so brainwashed that they think they're doing the right thing. And in fact, they probably think we're a bunch of lunatics because we won't do the right thing. It's a fair point Leslie makes.
It is. And in 1930 and 40, those people were brainwashed to believe that, you know, the wreck was the right way to go and the Aryan race was the only race. They were all brainwashed. You know, psychological ops is played out on the global stage in every conflict that I've ever been in. It is a serious part of conflict. So the fact that our government played, and everybody else's governments, played psychological warfare on us 2 years over COVID and vaccines and masks and restrictions and you name it, they deserve to pay for the crime. Because psychological ops is a tool for war to win over or to defeat the enemy. Yep. And that's what they've done on the British public.
I mean, Paddy, that's a great point Jed's making. It is psychological ops perpetrated on the people of the United States, the people of the UK, the people of Europe, the people of the world, fundamentally.
And propaganda works. You know, there's a reason it's been used. So propaganda works, and especially when you've got the you've got the press walking hand in hand with one part of the political class, and they're not doing their job. The press is supposed to keep everybody in check, both the lunatics in society that want to gain power, and the lunatics that are in power that need to be watched. That was the press's job. They've stopped doing that. Now people like us have to do it, and trying to get, you know, like I said, this you've gotten your voice heard at least 500,000 times, and that's, you know, and that's more than half the people on CNN. So, you know.
Yeah. I think we've all got it. You've got a better audience than CNN.
You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But propaganda works. And they've kept to this line. And they especially when you tell people, if you don't do this, you're going to die. I mean, you can't have a greater motivation. You know, and they lied to us. And they've lied. And they're continuing to lie.
Now, you know? Yeah. Now, I want to bring on one of our most loyal and greatest supporters, and that's all the way from the Stalinist Republic of Scotland, Grantonio. Hi, Grantonio. Welcome to the stream.
How you doing, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, all the way from Edinburgh.
It was just a couple of things that I wanted to say. So first off, just thanks for the great content, David, Paddy, Jed, Adrian. What we were saying earlier about mental health, I mean, it's been quite wonderful for me to tune in every Thursday and listen to the different ideas and just to have a bit of crack as well, to have a bit of banter. So thank you for setting this up, guys. It's really, really great what you're doing, and keep up the good work. And the other thing I wanted to say, just with regards to what we're talking about, I didn't know what controlled opposition was until the start of the pandemic. I'd never heard the phrase before. Dare I say, it was probably you who introduced me to the phrase, David. I was thinking earlier about finding out who your friends are during all of this. All of your wokey cokies, your Owen Joneses and what's the prat from LBC? James O'Brien.
Yeah.
I don't mind them. they don't like this country, they don't like the working classes, and they're honest about that. That's fine. They don't bother me in the slightest. The ones that we've got to watch out for are the ones who are pretending that they're on our sides. The Piers Morgans, the Andrew Neils, the Julia Hartley Brewers. And I tell you, this pandemic and COVID, it really has brought out the worst in some people, hasn't it? And I'm just grateful for this show and being able to, and your podcast as well, David, to analyze some of the things that these people say. You've got to be very careful with regards to who's pretending to be on your side. But that was just the point I wanted to make. But again, yeah, thank you guys. I'll get out of your way. Cheers.
Cheers, Edgar Antonio. Thanks. Actually,
fantastic, that wasn't it? That's what we want for the show, everybody. Just pop in and tell us what you think.
Yeah, Grantonio is an absolute huge asset to the show. And the point that he's making, though, is, you know, the whole I'll also be under sort of the whole controlled opposition thing was something I didn't fully understand until early days in the pandemic, when all of a sudden all these people who up until that point, Jed, I would have had confidence in, people like Andrew Neil, for example, you know, it's kind of very senior political editor of the BBC. I thought he was okay. He's a shill, and he's not the only one, because as we all know, and we laugh about her, Sergeant Major Julie Hartley Brewer of the first talk radio volunteers, she's another shill. I've only been jabbed twice, but you know, I'm really a rebel. We see through them, and I've enjoyed it, Jill. And Jed, you know, I've done so many podcasts basically mercilessly mocking these people, because Grantonio's point is right. The enemy that you see isn't the enemy that you worry about. It's the ones that you think are your friends and then put a bullet in your head. They're the ones,
yeah.
Jed.
Yeah.
So he's right.
Yeah, fully agree. Yeah. No, absolutely, David. And Grantonio's right. If you can see your enemy, you can duck and dive them. When you think people are your friends, but they're not, you can't duck and dive that. And it's Field Marshal Julia Hartley Brewer.
Oh, yeah, she was
of the 33 and a third Brigade Nazi Battalion. Vaccine radio.
No, they're heroes. Actually, Richie Doop makes it. And by the way, Richie Doop, thank you very much for being such a good supporter with us, for us. He makes a point, Adrian, that I kind of go with, which is, you know, Farage and Musk are possibly controlled opposition. And I think that's got legs, because I think if you're going to be given, in the case of Nigel Farage, for example, all that media presence he's got, and you're Ofcom regulated, you're controlled in one way or the other, or is that unfair?
No, I think it's right. Farage was so quick to lead people up the hill when it came to Brexit and things like that, and then was all of a sudden telling people, oh, vote Conservative, we don't want to split the vote, and now all of a sudden Conservative, well, you know, they're just as bad as all the others, the WEF, you know, how many members are part of that brigade? Mm. The thing is, once this is all over, what do we do with these people once it's all over? Because they've clearly nailed their colours to the mast. They don't care about us. They're making that abundantly clear. We had Neil, we had Piers Morgan telling us we had no place in society, we needed locked up. So once this is all done and dusted, whenever that may be, how do we go ahead with these people in society? Because they have ultimately caused a lot of people to die. You know, we have seen the injuries people are getting, and people are dying from these vaccines, but it's down to the pressure that these so-called journalists are putting on people by naming and shaming.
Well, I agree. But actually, then Leslie Butler makes the very fair point that, you know, if you look at doctors, I mean, Jed, start with you in this one, and then Paddy, come to you in a sec. Doctors have been exposed. Listen, up until 2019, 2020, I had a modicum of trust in doctors, GPs and whatnot, thinking, well, these people, I mean, you know, they've got the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm and all of that. And you can go with doctors. Honestly, I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't go near a doctor if he was in fire now. I have no confidence in the majority of doctors. They've been exposed, Jed, to me as being nothing short of gauleiters for the regime. Pumping, telling people, and Leslie Butler, you'll know that, understand this. You know, they're saying to people, oh, yeah, come on in, get your jab. It's so safe, nothing to worry about. I mean, Jed, how do you even start to talk about GPs?
Because they're on the dime, they're on the dollar. That's why. You know, if you said to
you a beat GP, me to it.
if we listened to a GP at the beginning of the vaccine roll, like right, what we want you to do now is jab, you know, 60 million, 70 million people, they wouldn't have done it. It's the fact they said, we will give you 10 quid, 15 quid, whatever it was, per jab. Well, all you could see is the pound signs rolling around in their eyes. You know, they've been bought. And just to add, David knows this, but this is a bit of a personal one. Unfortunately, last night, my father had a fall, and he called for an ambulance at 3:30 in the night. And they came and picked him up and took him down to A&E. So he probably arrived at A&E somewhere around 3-4 o'clock. And he was still in A&E at 5 o'clock, and he's still in A&E now because they've no beds. So he's on a trolley in A&E. He's 81 year old with Parkinson's, and they've bunged him on a trolley for, well, my last message was at 5 o'clock. So that's 13 hours for an 81 year old. The NHS is a cancer. It's sucking the taxpayers' money out of their pocket and then laughing at you and making crappy, and I'm going to swear, and shitty TikTok videos to rub it in your face. It needs shutting down now.
Yeah. Well, actually, Adrian, I'll come to you, Paddy, and then to you. Adrian, I mean, honestly, I couldn't even describe my contempt for the NHS. The very organisation people were told to go out and clap for. Remember? Go out, 8 o'clock, Thursday night, go out and clap. I despise the NHS. I want to see it broken up into a million pieces. Jed's given a personal example there of an experience, and I suspect that there'll be people listening to this will have equally, you know, bad horror stories of their experience with it, Adrian.
Yeah, I would agree. But like, let's go back. When was it created? The 1950s, 1940s?
Late 40s,
So the population in the UK then was probably half what it was now. So it was really fit for purpose. It was brilliant. But as the population has grown massively in that time, the NHS hasn't been able to keep up, and more money is now wasted on managers and things like that. Is the whole point to bring it to the state where it can't be fixed, so the government can now say, well, look, we're just pouring money down a hole. We need private medical insurance. That would save hundreds of billions of pounds a year from the taxpayers' purse.
Yeah.
I think that's possibly where they're leading us. But just come back to the doctors. Any doctor that has read those Pfizer documents and is not screaming out loud about vaccines needs to be struck off. Any doctor that has read those documents and isn't screaming out loud about the known injuries should be struck off too. It's despicable that their do no harm oath just seems to have disappeared out the window.
It's gone. It's gone. But Paddy, like we see in the States with the esteemed Dr. Fauci and the rest of them, I mean, this is a regime, a medical regime around the world, but to a significant degree driven out of the States. And honestly, it's of Dr. Mengele proportions, and yet he's still there. Biden's still, you know, very keen to support Fauci, and Fauci's one of the great demons of our time.
Well, this was, you know, nobody paid any attention to this until this. So there will be benefit out of this in the long run, because Fauci got no position, and nobody pays attention to the bureaucracy, and as he. and that's a problem. This man makes $400,000 a year off taxpayer money, and he's been getting kickbacks from all these companies and all that. And when he was asked about it by under oath by Rand Paul, he told Rand Paul it's against the law for you to ask me that question. He knew the law that he couldn't be asked about it, which also indicated that he took the money. But at the same time, too, is like you said, it's now I can't speak to your system of medicine because it is different than ours. They're trying to make ours into yours. But like here in the States, we don't have, you know, one medical system. It's supposed to be free. It's supposed to be private and this and that. But if you don't follow besides the bonuses they were paying for following the regime order, if you didn't follow the COVID line, they cut off your Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements and all this stuff, because all the money, even through the private insurance, goes through the federal government and then back to the doctors. And they were cutting off, if you didn't tote the line, they'd cut you out of the financial loop, and you were left hung. You had to go out of business.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I'm going to bring in another guest who's just, all right. We had Leslie Butler who applied to join, and now she can't join. Leslie Butler, come on, get that Dutch courage up and join the party. I've just got myself.
Come on, Leslie. Come out with some brilliant comments. So I would love to hear you live.
You're one of the stars of this here, so you may as well come in. She pressed the wrong thing. Do it again, Leslie. Hit the apply to join, whatever that button is, and I'll bring you in, and you can say hello to this mob. And honestly, I promise they don't bite. Well, I might, but the other ones are all very nice people. And hello to, I see other people joining as well. Thanks very much for coming into the stream, all of you. I do appreciate you all being here tonight.
Can I just say one thing, David? Sorry to interrupt you again. Just want to say thank you to the guys, girls on Getter and on this stream who've said kind words about my father. Thank you very much. It means a lot. Thank you.
And I'll tell you, Jed, this is how it is. We are essentially a big family here. Over the past year, we've created a family of people, and we actually do genuinely care for each other. So when people go through tough moments, and let's face it, you know, we all do, we all have, we all will. It's nice to think that there's a group here who, will stand by each other. So, yes, Jed, I mean, it's nice to see those comments over on the Getterverse as much here on the podcast. But, I think for me, I've just gone down. I see some of the names that people were saying that they like. Just reading back there, scrolling through, I see people saying that they enjoy Dellingpole. Yeah, James is pretty good. James is down as many rabbit holes as yours truly, I think. Neil Oliver is pretty much getting a lot of respect, I think, for the work he's done over on GB News, isn't he? He's in GB News. And another guy that I like, actually, and Paddy will know this because I used to go on about him a lot way back, is a guy called Mark Stein, who is a Canadian who also does some stuff on Fox News and also does a show on GB News, I think it is, Jed, isn't it? Mark Stein's R that he has. So
he's fighting the battle, David, for COVID victims and the the vaccine side effects. He's fighting the battle as best he can under Ofcom rules.
And another comment about Mark Stein. He is also one of the greatest anti-climate scam warriors on the planet. He took everybody to court over climate change, and you got to read him. I know David's got books. Read David's books, but Stein's got a book on climate change. Read his book; you'll love it.
He's also very witty, which I think, Paddy, helps enormously. I've enjoyed Mark Stein. He was a bit at the beginning of all this whole shenanigans over COVID. He wasn't where he needed to be, but that's okay. He's moved on to our territory now, and he's saying all the right things. And as Jed says, he's trying to help. know, he's trying to speak up for the victims of the vaccines. Or well, I don't even like to call them vaccines. They're not vaccines, right? The experimental gene therapies. And he's good for him for doing that. You know, so there are some people out there. But then going back to points that have been made, there's also some people who, you know, they act as if, oh yes, we're awakened, you know, we see through this, and they don't. They're shells. So, you know, again, I try to do is when I'm putting out the podcast, if I detect a shill anywhere, be it an Andrew Neil or be it a Julie Hartley Brewer or be it a you know, whoever it is, then I'm not going to hold back, because, you know, we have to shine the light on them, as far as I'm concerned. Paddy, don't you think that we do need to, you know, even if we get it wrong, and maybe afterwards we can say, well, okay, he was fine. But most, you know, I think most instances, we're on the money exposing the right people, because the mainstream media worship them.
Light is the best disinfectant, and you got to shine a light of truth on democracy, as the, you know, as the late Rush Limbaugh used to say.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Except I don't think we've got much democracy these days, Adrian. Because, as I say, down my particular rabbit hole, I actually think that democracy itself, as it certainly operates in 2022, is a bad thing, because it's a tyranny of the minority, actually. But if they're the only people that go out and vote, then it becomes a tyranny of the voting majority. And people like us are then put in a corner and told to shut up.
We only have the illusion of democracy.
Yeah, that's a better way.
We're told we have a choice. You can vote for A, you can vote for B. But we have seen over this last 2 years that they both drink from the same cup. You know, they just present things in a slightly different way. And if you are not willing to go along with their narrative, well, then you're the one that's mad, bad, crazy. You're a danger to society. You know, the unvaccinated, we were the elephant in the room. We were going to die in our millions. We were going to cause millions to die. But we're still here. We're still fighting. And it just takes one of those big names to come out and say something. But unfortunately, too many of those channels, like Bill Gates donates money to the BBC every year, donates money to The Guardian, and many other news agencies. And they're afraid of losing that money, losing the power that they have. What was it Mark Twain said? It takes a patriot to stand up and be brave, something along those lines, you know, but not too many others will join him until it's safe. I just can't remember off the top of my head what the quote was, but, you know, you need people like yourself and Jed and all of us who are willing to stand up and call these people out. There's not too many are willing to sacrifice their careers to greater good for the people.
The cabal love that. The cabal know that. They've bought so many, or they've got other people. There's good people I know who won't speak out, because if they speak out, Jed, they could lose their income, they could lose their house, they could certainly lose their job. And so they think that the better thing to do is to veer on the side of the, well, like Adrian said, just be quiet and don't publicly say anything. But I don't think that's good enough, because they win then if we do that. And we have to, unfortunately, be man enough or woman enough or person of indeterminate gender enough to actually say, yeah, no, that's wrong, disagree.
Yeah, because cancel culture only works because of the fear of being cancelled, whether that's losing your job, etc. Now, you know my situation, David. I speak out. I just don't show my face. And I speak out, whether it's every Wednesday when we're on the show together, or every Thursday when we're on this together. I still speak out in front of my friends and etc. And they either accept me as I am, or they can hit the road, Jack, if you see what I mean. But it's the fear of being cancelled, whether it's losing your job, but, you know, pushed to one side, or you lose your friends. Fear is real. And there are some people who can't. I agree and I disagree with what's just been said. There are some people who can't afford to speak out, because they can't afford to lose that low-paid job that they've got, you know, called jams, just about managing. They can't afford to lose that job. They'd love to speak out, but they have to keep quiet, because cancel culture has got a grip. And that's what, if we can fight against cancel culture and stop it, then it doesn't matter that you speak out, because nobody's going to cancel you, because it won't be a thing. So, yes, Joe Soap, that's on the low-paid job, then can have his or her voice. And that's what this is about tonight. It's about, and every Thursday night, it's about giving people a voice to speak out.
I speak out.
Well, that's right. That's exactly it. Yeah. Sorry, Adrian, go ahead.
I speak out because I have a young daughter, and I'm worried about the world that she'll be left in. If we do not stand up, we will leave them a world where they won't be able to stand up. They won't be able to voice dissent. Millions of young men gave their lives 80 years ago storming the beaches of Normandy for us to live in the society that we live in. It's now our turn to repay that debt. If we get cancelled, so be it. But we owe that to them.
A lot of
people do not see or do not realise or think about, I think.
Yeah.
To be honest.
You're right, Adrian. And of course, you know, I mean, as someone who suffered from cancel culture, you know, they took me off Twitter. They've given me all kinds of warnings on Facebook and on YouTube, but we still persist just for the lols. The cancel culture thing, it's not nice when you're at the eye of the storm. I've been at the eye of the storm. You know, the night that I got cancelled from Twitter, I had, I think it was 300,000 different sort of comments or whatever the terminology is on Twitter, mostly from leftists dancing a joy of delight. And that's why I actually said, he told Paddy, I picked up on a comment you made earlier regarding don't have a go at Elon Musk. I don't know enough about Elon Musk. I can't be sure about Musk. He is a billionaire. You don't get to be a billionaire, Paddy, unless, you know, you're part of a club. But, Paddy, I am prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's see what he does with Twitter.
He's winning. He's winning. He should have control of it. It may take still a few more months, but he's winning. The board just voted unanimously to accept his offer, so we'll see what he does. But my whole thing with Musk is he dabbles in politics. Musk really does not. He's not interested in the politics unless he can use it to promote one of his businesses. And that's, you know, and as long as he stays in the business, of what he's doing in the space industry, you know, and the advances that are being made there, I, you know, can't think of it. And so far, he's not turned out to be a sniveling little weasel. Like you said, though, we'll see what he does with Twitter.
He's brilliant at triggering the woke. That's where he's good at memes.
He loves throwing grenades into the room and just watching everybody's head explode.
Yeah, no, absolutely right, Paddy. And the thing, I mean, so I've got to say, I do have a grudging respect for Musk, and even the whole Tesla thing and the whole SpaceX and all of that. You know, I do. There's elements of that I like.
One of the best quotes of Musk about Tesla is, "Normal people can't afford these cars." You know, I mean, he knows it's his business, and he's like, "This isn't going to apply to the normal person, not in the United States."
Yeah. No, the big test of 2022 for those of us in communications, if you like, is, can Twitter be turned around and made into a free speech platform? Will those who have been egregiously removed from it, such as President Trump and others, be permitted, be allowed back? And that might include me. And whether or not I would come back is a totally different matter. But as a matter of principle. But I've put this out on Getter, and I know there's people on Getter. You know, I think there's some people take the view, you know something, I'm sick of Twitter. Don't care. It's a sewer. Whether he can improve it or not, good luck to him. But do we actually need Twitter? I mean, Adrian, do you think we need Twitter?
I think it's a bullhorn for the cabal, the leftists, to try and force their will on people. Do we need it? Yes, because we need to see how radical and how desperate these people are, so that when people do start to wake up, they can see for what it is. You know that it is a cesspool. I'll be honest, I'm on my fifth Twitter account. I done what General Flynn said, join the digital battlefield. So I keep creating new accounts. For anybody that needs to know how to do it, is delete all your data, your cache data, create a new profile with a new email address, go somewhere and open up on a 5G signal, 4G or free Wi-Fi somewhere, put a couple of posts on, and then when you go home, you can link it up then to your Wi-Fi because you've already posted and your account's verified, so your IP address will get through the block. I'm actually on the fifth one. And the reason being is because you have to keep putting the information out. You have to keep calling these people out. You know, if you don't, and you just you let them keep censoring you, and then less and less people get to hear different ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm right in thinking that Adrian, so you're on Twitter, Jed, you're still on Twitter, Paddy, you're still on Twitter, I think. So the only one of us that's not on Twitter.
But I'm not a racist, David. I don't like football players.
As Richie Doop has pointed out here on the stream, you guys, if you want to see how good Twitter is, ask Marcus Rashford where his dad is and see what happens to you. That was the thing that took me down. I was racism because I wanted to protect young black kids and make sure that a mom and a dad, how much more wicked can you be? But yeah, you know, it'll be very interesting. So Grantonio, I just wanted to bring this one up. I'll just go around the panel. I'll start with you, Adrian, this one. Grantonio actually makes a fair point. We are winning on some fronts. And he references the fact that in the swimming, the whole sort of professional swimming, elite swimming, that trans swimming, trans individuals have been banned from women's sports, Adrian, and that is a bit of a win because it's appalling the way women have been targeted.
Oh, rightly so. And I seen Lord Coe was out a couple of days ago saying that athletics may follow suit, which is great. But the thing that puzzles me about the whole trans and women not being able to compete fairly, where are the feminists? Why are they not giving off about this? Because they were the ones that were fighting for decades for equal rights and all that for women, equal pay. But yet women's livelihoods, careers are being destroyed by these people. And yet they have stayed silent the whole way through this. And I find that very baffling.
But that proves my point though, Adrian, doesn't it? Because if you stand up against cancel culture, you win. And that's what Sharon Davis and the other people that have fought against trans women swimmers, they stood up against it and they've won. And now look what potentially, you've just mentioned it there, it could then happen in athletics and it could happen in other sports and it will be a cascade effect across sports. And we'll be back to the correct thing. Men compete against men, women compete against women.
I saw Megan Rapinoe out the other day saying that parents should suck it up if trans footballers take their daughters' places on the teams. Well, that's okay for you. Your career's over. You know, but what about the young girls who are trying to get into sports, whether it be swimming, football, athletics, whatever? You know, what about them? You know, as a woman, you know, and a gay woman, surely you should be out there fighting for these young kids. But to turn around and say, suck it up, it just shows you how crazy the whole situation is.
Well, she's a particularly repulsive character. Paddy, she's one of your mob. She's an American, isn't that? That Rapinoe woman. Is she a woman? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and she. I refuse to lay claim to her for my country.
Fair enough. Fair
and enough. I want to make one comment. Am I the only one who remembers the early Olympics, when the Olympics were still the Olympics, that we used to have to test the Russians to make sure they weren't slipping men into women's events, and now it's now we're supposed to accept it. What's going on here?
Not just Russians. I do remember quite a famous American was caught.
Oh, never. Never.
Sorry, Paddy, I'm sorry. Is it Jackson?
Well, of course, because I consider Olympian sport to be essentially, I'm at the point where I think they should remove all drug restrictions, and because I reckon most of them are drugged one way or the other, and just have I mean, it's all cheating. It's all you know, drug fueled.
Died for me when they allowed professionals to join the Olympics. As soon as they allowed the professionals to join, there was no more Olympics.
Yeah, that's a good point, Paddy. I think Grantonio says, I'll never forgive Daley Thompson for what he did to my joysticks. Was that, were you playing one of those? Grantonio, are you dating yourself to that period where there were those different video games that where you had to do all that kind of malarkey? Yes, indeed he is. Grantonio has outed himself as someone from the, I guess that's what, the 80s, I guess. Mind you, I'm from the 80s as well, but the 1880s in my case. So, you know, it's 80s, 90s, Grantonio. He's trying to young himself. So that was a small victory, that one. Although, by the way, did you know that FIFA, FIFA is like the British, well, no, it's not, it's Europe. In fact, is it the International FIFA, the Football Federation? Guys, help me out in this one. FIFA. Is it global football or what is it?
I think now we're trying to get soccer over here. So yeah, I think they're FIFA is involved in the soccer over here right now.
Well, FIFA football. FIFA just a week ago were saying, because they're such, oh, they're such sickening virtue signalers. They were saying, yeah, we're probably good with anyone who identifies as whatever gender, they should be allowed to participate in a team of whatever that gender is. So in other words, some bloke, you know, who's got serious mental illness can decide, yeah, I will actually, you know, I'm a woman now, so I want to play in the women's relevant sport. And, you know, that they were saying that last week. I think they might change their mind now after the Swimming Federation has actually made a stand. Richie Dupe says, what about rainbow corner flags in the World Cup at the end of this year in Qatar? Not sure about that one. I think they might lose the top of their heads, the flags, that is. But, yeah, Adrian says, 50 lashes for you, Richie. How dare you suggest that Qatar is anything other than 100%, 110% pro-LGBTQ plus rights. I mean, it's laughable. That's one of the things. Adrian, you see international sport. I mean, it's such a crock, isn't it? It's all about money, virtue signaling, and no principles.
Oh, 100%. You know, the Olympics used to be about amateurs, you know, trying to be the best. And then all of a sudden it became globally commercial, you know, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, all those kind of big corporations sponsoring it to the tune of hundreds of millions of pounds. But how many of those athletes would truly eat a McDonald's or drink Coca-Cola because they know the crap that's in it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, but yeah. They push it on us, and we are just expected to go along with it and believe that it's such a great spectacle of humans coming together to see who's the best in this, that, and the other. But a lot of it's been state-sponsored cheating for decades.
Yeah. Actually, Jed, one of the things that during the last couple of years I found the most weird is, although I'm not a huge football fan, my wife is. And during, if you remember, in 2020, when there was a time when obviously there were no football matches, and then the football matches came back. So we used to sit and watch football games, and there were no people allowed, because of the danger of the deadliest pandemic ever, no one was allowed in the stadium. No fans were allowed in the stadium. So, Jed, you remember they used to play the noise. They would pipe in the noise of a crowd, even though the stadiums were empty, empty cathedrals. And I remember thinking, Jed, this is total dystopia, this, you know? And then the second thought I had, Jed, was, well, so this is an artifact. So it's a pretend crowd because the stadiums are empty. So people are being gaslit on this one to imagine, oh, football's back, it's all normal, even though it wasn't. And then that made me think, well, you see the actual normal football that we get and all, how much of that is stage managed as well? How much of that is basically bread and circuses for the plebs? Jed?
Well, not being a football fan, not a soccer fan, a football fan. Sorry, we give the Americans a language and they ruined it, don't they?
Joking.
I don't watch football, but the idiocy of piping in crowd noises when you physically see it's empty.
Yeah.
That is psyops. You know, I'll tell you a famous film, Apocalypse Now. What did they do is they flew in the helicopters in the film. They played music, didn't they?
They did. Yep.
What did we do in Gulf War One? Because we had an American PsyOps team with us. What did we do when we went forward? They blasted out music. Why? Because even though it's music, and you think, oh, well, music's nice, it actually puts fear in the enemy. If you're coming rushing towards them and you're playing happy, you know, type of, you know, rock and roll and all that, it does actually have a psychological effect. And playing noises or playing crowds, sound effects, when you know the stadium is empty, it's psychological.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, Paddy. Leslie says here, Leslie Butler says, you know, she used to be a fan of some of these sports until all the kneeling down. If you remember, Paddy, whenever the esteemed Mr. George Floyd, the renowned fentanyl addict, unfortunately met his demise, and we had the emergence of BLM, and all of a sudden, everyone was bowing down, not just Kaepernick. What's your thoughts on where, if you like, professional sport is at the moment with the wokeness?
There are no professionals. I don't watch Chinese ball, and that's all. It's all baseballs we got. Anyway, and football, real football, like, that Colin Kaepernick ruined. You know, you got to remember what he knelt for. He didn't kneel for that. He knelt for the death of cops. He was calling for the death of police officers, for police officers to be attacked left and right. And it's just like, you know what? They destroyed sports. I will not watch another, you know, American football game. I will not watch. I never watch soccer. Sorry. But, and I liked hockey. At least they can't kneel in hockey. Although they did, a couple people did try, but that didn't last long in hockey. But the, you know, this is ridiculous. They've killed sports. We've been going through such political turmoil here, and it's like I'm really worried about, you know, this next election, and, you know, because the propaganda and the bull crap that they've been pulling and everything else. If, you know, I'm really worried if this election doesn't flip it, you know, so at least it stops what Biden's doing, because the Republicans take control. Isn't going to change anything. They're not going to solve any of the issues that this idiot's created. But they'll at least put a hold on it till the next presidential election. But the bull crap with the wokeness and the set, people like Megan Rapinoe, Colin Kaepernick, these are all, you know, you know what? Sit down, shut up. You know, you're an athlete. You want to go in the you want to go represent the United States somewhere, and you want to protest. You're going to kneel in protest the United States. Guess what? You're off the team because you're there for America. You're not there for yourself. You earned that spot from your talent. But you know what? Yeah. Your mouth just cost you to lose it. And there are consequences. And eventually the pendulum is going to swing back in the other direction. We should be laughing at these people, not kowtowing to them.
Well, Paddy, well said. I agree with that. Adrian, I wanted to ask you, I think we'll go for another 10 minutes or so. This is a good one. Grantonio says that Gary Lineker, who many of you Brits will know, Gary Lineker has just claimed to be a victim of race hate. Now, Gary Lineker is a guy who's as white as I am, as pallid as me. But he believes that in his earlier career, we tackled this actually, Jed, on the live stream last night. But Adrian, I wondered, I mean, were you shocked to discover that Gary Lineker has been a victim of race hate?
I don't even know where to begin with this man. This man will blow in whatever way the wind, you know, is blowing. He was taking in refugees, you know, because refugees need to come for a better life and all that. This guy now, the memes that are flying about Lineker are unbelievable. There's some really talented people out there taking the absolute mick out of him. But this is a man who's telling us about climate change, but drives a 6-liter Mercedes sports car, as a football presenter, gets flown around the world in private jets to different countries to commentate on football, but yet needs to educate and lecture us on climate change. You know, this guy is just... he's not even a clown. Clowns are funny. He's just become an absolute laughingstock.
You're right, Adrian. He's an absolute embarrassment. Jed, we did touch on this one last night, and I've seen some more brilliant memes today, and the meme guys have been out taking the proverbial out of Lineker. But it does speak something to the mindset of this multimillionaire who is as white as they come, that he would even dare to pontificate that he's basically victim of race hate.
Yeah, he's a clown. You know, and he's a £1.7 million paid by the taxpayer clown. That's what he is. £1.7 million he gets from the BBC. And I mentioned that last night, David, on the stream. The thing is, right, if a multimillionaire takes in a refugee, yeah, fine. If they say they're going to do it and they do it, great. Gary Lineker said he was going to do it and he did it. Yeah, the refugee went, bog off, I am not living with you, you're a nutter. And he left. He can't even take in a refugee, but he wants us to do it. He wants us to drive around in electric cars, just as he's been mentioned with his private jets and his big Mercedes. And he tells us about climate change. I know more about climate change than he does about football. You know, the man is an idiot. Racism. Unbelievable.
Dean Rimmer points out, speak quietly, lads. Gary's massive ears will be listening. Yeah, he has the most prodigious ears. I also do remember, by the way, on the night that I was finally removed from Twitter, Gary Lineker joined in. So, yeah, I don't have much love for Gary Lineker, but, you know, yeah, it's pathetic. Right, Paddy, I couldn't let this one go by without... I want to have a laugh towards the end of this one. Joe Biden falling off a bike. That was a good moment, wasn't it?
Gravity works. What an idiot. You talk about a sheer embarrassment, man. I mean, just every time this guy goes into public, it's like, oh God, please, no. Keep him in the basement in Delaware, please. It's all right, he's president. That's nice. He doesn't have to. You know, the Chinese use that, him falling off the bike, to represent our position in the world in an ad they ran last week. Yeah, it's... Sorry, just, you know, the man upsets me.
He upsets everybody. I mean, I only can presume he had an excess injection of adrenochrome, and that's why he facilitated, although, isn't it interesting, Paddy, and this is not something that's been generally reported in the media, but I've seen commentary in this one that suggests, and this is bad, this is dark, actually, Adrian, I'm going to come to you in this one in a second, but Paddy first. He was distracted by the fact that there was a group of journalists, right, who he ordinarily, you know, he hates journalists because they might ask him a non-sanctioned question, right? So he normally doesn't bother with them. But amongst that group of journalists, Paddy, was a child. And that was what distracted Biden, and that's what caused him to cycle up. And you may also, Paddy, sorry, just to follow, he also, and this is my problem with Joe Biden, it's not funny, it's serious. There was another thing he did in the past day where, again, with children, what is it with this guy and kids, Jed? Paddy first, and then Jed, come to you.
Well, they make the hair on his legs stand up.
God, yeah.
Oh, man. No, I don't want to even go there because it's too sick. Too sick. I'm a father. So are you. It's just like, yeah. I just can't go into that darkness.
No, I know. He just needs to be evicted. Jed, I mean, Biden falling off the bike, it was funny at one level because it shows how weak and he is. It's symbolic to me of, unfortunately, where the US is, which is what I don't want to see, a weak US. But I think there's a darkness around Biden as well, and not just the corruption in Ukraine, not just the alleged adrenochrome and all of that stuff. Everything about Biden makes me feel ill.
Yeah, and it should. That is a pedo in the White House. Bottom dollar is a pedo in the White House that has lost his mind, and that's not his fault for losing his mind, but he should not be in charge of what is classed as the free world. Remember, it was the United Kingdom that made it free because we let them win. But anyway.
You're trying to provoke Paddy here.
I am. I'm just trying to have a laugh with Paddy. But no, the man is an embarrassment. Everybody used to say Trump was an embarrassment. But Trump just said it as it was, and we all accepted that. But Biden is actually, an embarrassment and a dangerous one and a pedo one.
Right. We are joined, I am pleased to tell everyone, by our good friend. She's managed to work the, the call-in system here.
Leslie Butler.
Yes. Leslie Butler. Welcome to the stream.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, yeah, hello, speak up. Everybody. Yes, we can hear you.
Because you were expecting me to. And just to say how much I enjoy the show, or all the shows, all the podcasts. And thank you to everybody, and congratulations on all the podcasts you've done. And as you can tell, I'm very nervous, but I really enjoy every single show that you do.
Well, Leslie, you're very kind, and look, well done for actually making the making the leap into the studio here. I know how intimidating it is, Leslie. I remember well back when I started doing media about 100 years ago, back in the days when the BBC and people let me on, and I was nervous as hell. I've got to the grizzled point in my life that I don't have any nerves anymore. They're all shot to hell. But, you know, but Leslie, thank you very much for your continued
support. Leslie's done it once now. She can do it again. Don't be nervous. Leslie. We're all friendly here.
Every week,
yeah, and next time,
week.
Leslie, you need to phone it. You need to express some topical opinions a lot, because these other guys don't hold back, and neither should you. Because remember, we're inclusive on this platform. We are fully supportive of all the genders, all two of them. Isn't that right, Jen?
Well, I'm just one gender.
Yeah, Leslie. Yeah, absolutely, Leslie. Oh, you've done it now. You brought your duck. So yeah, please try again.
Don't, I'll only regret not doing it. So anyway, I've done it, and yay!
Yeah, absolutely. On the show where we celebrate over 500,000 downloads, you've done it. Thank you, Leslie.
Yeah, thanks so much, Leslie.
You're welcome, and thank you. Thanks, everybody.
So cheers, Leslie. And everyone else listening, Leslie's just showing you how to do it. You just let me know you want to come in, and you come in, and we just chat. That's the secret to our success. Now, that being said, we as Jed just pointed out, we've got the 500,000 plus actually under our belt. One of these days, Podbean will send me the send a little badge when you've hit 500,000. But we've already done that, Jed. So you know what my target is now, don't you guys? Everyone can tell where I'm now wanting the platform to go. I want this platform to get till 1 million.
This is what David does to me all the time. When we hit a target, he'll send a message to me on Signal and go, Jed, you know what the next target is, don't you? I know it's coming, David, I do.
Yeah, you know, yeah, because we're going to get bigger. We're going to get stronger. We are relentless. And if there's one thing about what we do is, you know, there's a certain remorselessness required. There really is, because if you're not remorseless, the problem is that you give the enemy scope to get in amongst you. Well, we're not doing that. We, all of us, not just me and Jed, but and Patty and Adrian and Leslie, but everyone, we are the resistance. That's what makes this, I believe, this podcast channel so unique. Because it's a collective. It's not just me. It's all of you. So look, I am gonna. We've gone significantly over the time. I wanna thank you all again from the bottom of my heart. Again, a special big thanks to Jed for everything. Jed, I owe you so much for this one, and you know, it couldn't be done without you. So thank you so much, Jed.
You can pay me back in my next life, mate.
Yeah. Well, actually, maybe. Maybe if we get enough cups of coffee, I can pay back in this one. But that's down to you. But that's down to you guys, because as I say, we've just shelled out over 160 quid 2 days ago for the next year of this malarkey. So if I know some of you have done so in recent days, and thank you very much. And if others would like to sort of drop whatever you can in the buy me a coffee thing, or the the other one, Jed, the drop
donor box, David.
Donor box, or indeed even through this, then that's great. Listen, I did say this at the beginning, the show would end when my glass is empty. My glass is now empty. So on that, I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap up the 500,000 download one. But hey, listen, here's a deal, right? just wait till we get, and we will get, to a million. Just imagine the party we're going to have that night. Because on that night, I expect every one of you to be coming into this studio, even if it's just a clink glass, I don't care. Do that, and we're going to have the mother of all parties. So that's when we get to a million. But we'll celebrate and enjoy this. And again, thank you to Paddy, City Troll. Thank you so much to Adrian. Thank you so much to Leslie. Thank you to Richie, to Grantonio, to everyone who's been on the stream. I see you all. Thanks to all the guys over on the Getters as well. And we shall, as they say, return. That's it from us. Good night.